The Ark of the Covenant is the most sacred of the items that were in the tabernacle. And we saw last week how the Ark was symbolic of the very presence of God with His people. The tabernacle was built in order to house the Ark so that God could dwell among His people. And the next most important sacred furniture to the Ark of the Covenant is the altar of incense. And this is the item that we want to think about tonight. The Bible tells us that the priest is to take a censer full of burning coals on one hand from the brazen altar. Now, the brazen altar is the altar that was in the outside of the holy place where the sacrifices are being made, right? And then he is to take sweet incense and with the burning coals to ignite it and allow the incense to come as a thick cloud of smoke that curls upwards that would fill the tabernacle. It is symbolic of Israel's prayer to God, and the priest who is enveloped by the sweet fragrance of the incense would enjoy that time of communion with God. And the incense is a picture of communion with God. And the priest was to stand before God on behalf of the people in prayer. And this is a picture that was placed before us through the construction of the tabernacle. And verse 8 of Exodus 30 tells us that it is to be a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations. Tonight we are going to consider two thoughts which are from our text. First is the patterning and the placement of the altar, and secondly, the purpose of the altar. The first thought from verses 1 to 5, then 1 to 6, then the second one from 7 to 10, and 34 to 38. It was at Mount Sinai that Moses received these instructions, whereby the altars and the were to be constructed. And if you were to compare the two altars, the brazen altar that is used for sacrifice, animal sacrifice for the atonement of sin, and the altar of incense, you'll find that there is a great difference. One of them is almost 7.5 feet long, 4.5 feet wide, and 1.5 feet in height. So it's a huge altar compared with the altar of incense. It's just 18 square inch with about a meter height. And so you see that in terms of its sheer physical size, there was a great difference. And the altar of incense is also called the golden altar. Right, and you can see from our text that it was made of the shittim wood, the wood that was found in the Sinai area, a very good wood that would not decay easily, right, very strong wood, and they would overlay it with gold to build this altar of incense. And you notice that this in verse 6 it says, "And thou shalt put before it the veil that was by the Ark of the Testimony before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. So this golden altar that was constructed, right, would be placed just before the veil. You remember the last time when we studied the Ark of the Covenant, we said that it is to be placed inside the veil, in the most holy place. But this second item, the golden altar, is to be placed at the outside. So if you look at the diagram that is there in your notes, you will be able to see that placement is placed right at the center and just very close to the veil, right, in the holy place. And there is a significance in the placing of the altar right before the veil. And verse 6 tells us how it should be placed, right? And thou shalt put it before the veil that is by the ark of the testimony, before the mercy seat that is over the testimony, where I will meet with thee. And so you would notice that the veil places a separation between the most holy place and the Holy of Holies. And the priests who are ministering daily in the tabernacle would come very close to the very presence of God, just at the edge of the veil. And this edge of the veil, right, would be the place where the golden altar would be located. And it's interesting how the priest is to stand so nigh unto the presence of God. Beyond the veil is the ark, in which God's physical presence is to be manifested, right, symbolically by the ark. And so as you think about this, you'll see that the priest, right, they would be ministering very daily, right, coming to the holy place and be closest to the presence of God when they are ministering at the altar of incense. And as you think about this, there is a text in the book of Revelation in chapter 8 verse 3 that tells us how the golden censer or the golden altar is symbolic of the prayers that is offered to the saints, by the saints to God, right? Revelation chapter 8 verse 3, it says here, another angel came and stood at the altar having a golden censer, and there was given unto him much incense, that he should offer it with the prayer of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And so in heaven itself, before the throne room of God, you see the saints offering their prayers before God, and you see the incense that was going before the throne. It's a picture of the communion of the saints with God. And you notice that the incense there is to be burned perpetually, right? And as you think about the proximity of the priest to the presence of God, we also can understand that when we are in prayer, we come closest to God. And that's why God has instituted for the local church corporate prayer, that we come together in order to draw close to God. And that is something that we want to mull over and think, right? Because when we come before God, and when we come in the presence of God, that's when we experience the closeness of God in our lives. And what do we do when we come before God? Well, when we come before God, we bring with us the many cares, the many burdens that is in our hearts. And what do we do with all these burdens that we have in our hearts? We would bring them before the throne of grace to God. And what else? Well, we come to the house of God to pray because God has given to us good health and strength, right? God has given to us life, and God has given to us the ability to give thanks and praise Him for all these things that He has given to us. And so as you think about the Christian, right, who by the finished work of Christ is a priest before God, who is able to have access to God directly, then prayer is that communion that we have with God. And so the altar of incense is symbolic of how the Christians draw nigh to God. And this drawing nigh to God, verse 6 of our text in Exodus 30 tells us, is to be done perpetually, right? And as you think about this, we are thankful to God that He gives to us that desire to want to come before Him in prayer. Because when we are in communion with God, that is where we come to understand and be in tune with the will of God. As we pray, as we seek Him, as we look to Him, well, we receive wisdom from Him. And as you think about the altar of incense symbolizing prayer and worship of Israel to God, you also want to think of how it is an acceptable worship that the priest bring on behalf of the people to God in the cloud of incense that was before the Holy of Holies. And as you think about it, verse 6 tells us that it is to be a place where God would meet with us. And it is indeed a very significant, and it is indeed a very important place for the Christian. As we think of the veil that is placed just before the Holy of Holies, this veil was rent into two when Christ died. You remember in Matthew 27 is recorded for us, verse 50, when our Lord cried with a loud voice, it was the ninth hour of the day, 3 p.m. when He yielded up the ghost. And verse 51 of Matthew 27 says, behold, the veil of the temple was rent in twain from the top to the bottom, and the earth did quake, and the rocks rent. The veil reminds us of the gulf between God and men, and how when Jesus died on the cross, that veil is taken away, that we have the, we are able to come before God directly. And so, as you think about it, we want to look at our second thought in verses 7 to 10, the purpose of the altar. You noticed that Aaron was to offer on the golden altar at regular and set times each day. Right. And verse 7 says, "And Aaron shall burn thereof sweet incense every morning when he dresses the lamb, and he shall burn incense upon it. When Aaron lighteth the lamps at even, he shall burn incense upon it, a perpetual incense before the Lord throughout your generations." So the priest is to offer up a morning and evening sacrifice. And they would enter the holy place and they would burn the incense on the altar. And it is a picture of that communion of God's people with God. Right? And the burning of the incense is to be done perpetually before the Lord. Right? Throughout your generation, throughout your lifetime, right? It is a picture of the believers offering up their prayers continually to God. And it's interesting, as we think about the offering up of this prayer as a form of worship to God, we want to infer from it, no? That this morning and evening prayer, it's a biblical pattern for us to learn in our personal lives, right? That we are to offer our morning prayers and petition, prayer of praise and petition to God. Right? In the morning when you wake up, do you have a time of devotion in the quiet of the morning to seek God's direction for the day? It is something that would be most appropriate. I remember last week when we visited a grandmother at her home, and she testified that every morning when she wakes up, she would first pray and ask Jesus to bless the day, and then to bless her children, and then to bless her grandchildren. Then after her prayer, she says, "I will have my coffee." So she wakes up very early in the morning, and that's her morning prayer. And if you look at the Bible and the life of the saints, you'll find that many of the godly saints in the Bible does have such a habit. They would wake up early in the morning to pray and worship God. We have a good example in the life of Elkanah and Hannah, the parents of Samuel. 1 Samuel chapter 1 verse 19 says that they rose up early in the morning and worshipped before the Lord. And the Lord remembered Elkanah, or remembered Hannah. Remember, Hannah was without child, she was barren, and her devotion to God, her plea to God was heard, and God opened her womb, and God gave her children. Samuel was the first. And if you look at the life of the king Hezekiah, he was also another man who rose up early and went to the house of the Lord to pray to God. But it's a very good habit of a godly person to want to seek God. And the work of the priest before the altar of incense, offering this incense and prayer before, on behalf of Israel, is symbolic of the devotional life of God's people with Him. That life of devotion, that life of communion. And you notice that the incense is to be a perpetual offering to God. Then if you look at the life of Job, he did the same thing. Remember, in Job chapter 1 verse 5, the Lord, the Bible says, Job woke up early in the morning and offered burnt offerings according to the number of his children. And he said that, and the Bible says that he did so continually. And the same in the life of David in Psalm 57 verse 8. You see how he awoke early to worship God. So as you think about how the priest would offer up the prayers and the incense to God in the morning, and also you see them also offering the incense in the evening, right? As we think about this in our own communion life with God, right, at the end of the day, we would also want to spend time in reflection upon how God has been with us throughout the day. Right? At the beginning of the day, we seek God, we pray and ask God for direction, and without fail, the child of God must experience the presence of God, the blessing of God through the day. And so after spending time with God through the day and receive His blessing, at the end of the day, it is so apt that the people of God would also come before Him in thanksgiving to the many answers of prayer that is given. And so if you look at the life of the Christian or the life of God's people, you'll find that prayer is an integral part of their life with God. And that is something that we want to think about, our own communion and life with God. How do we draw nigh to God? It is only in prayer that we are in communion with God, and we draw closest to God when we pray. That's why the Apostle Paul commands the Christians to pray unceasingly. Right? What do you mean by praying unceasingly? Is it possible to pray unceasingly? Well, I believe that that is the kind of life that God wants His people to live. To be living in the presence of God all the time. Right? To remember to draw nigh to Him. To remember to draw strength from Him. To remember to seek Him. Right? For the things that is going on in your life. And that is how we draw strength. How we can be filled with the Spirit. That's how we can be endowed with the graces of God. When our Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, He spent the whole night in prayer. He was God Himself, or He is God Himself. And yet he find it so meaningful,
right,
to spend time in prayer, in communion with the Father, because our Lord Jesus was sent by the Father, and when he's in communion with the Father, he would understand the will of the Father for his life. And you remember the time when he was in Gethsemane, how he knew that he would have to go to the cross, and he knew that it is the most difficult thing to do. There is going to be pain and great suffering ahead. The suffering of Christ when he went to the cross is not just a physical suffering per se, but he would be bearing the sins of the whole world for all the ages in that journey to the cross. And so he agonized in prayer, because to be afflicted, who would like it? Right? If we are given a choice, all of us would want to escape affliction. Right? But for our Lord Jesus Christ, it was the Father's will that he would go to the cross. And for the Christians too, there are times when God allows us to be afflicted. God allows us to go through suffering that we may draw close to him. And if you notice that it is usually and most of the time when we are suffering and in affliction that we are closest to God, that we will spend the most time in prayer. And so there is the sweet purpose of affliction that God gives to us, and it is in those times of those moments in the valley that we are closest to God, and we would cherish those time of sweet communion with God, because you knew that the problem is so great you cannot solve. And when you draw close to God, God gives his grace, and by you see how God's peace and joy and God's solution comes to us, and we receive help, we receive solution from God. And when we come out of that affliction, as we look back, we thank God how he was so good to us during those times of our affliction. But when we are well, oftentimes we find ourselves not praying as much. Our communion with God seems to wane. But as you look at the picture of the tabernacle and how the altar of incense is to represent a perpetual incense or prayer offered to God, you'll find that this is what God wants in our lives, and this is what God wants us to cultivate. When Daniel was in Babylon, the temple was already destroyed. But you see in Daniel chapter 6 how he would kneel upon his knees 3 times a day to pray and to give thanks before God. And you know that Daniel was a very wise man, right? God gave him very special wisdom, right? He was someone who is over all the wise men in Babylon for many years. How is it that he has all this wisdom? It's because he spent time with God. That is the secret of Daniel's power. He communed with God, and heavenly wisdom came upon him. And if you look at the life of the New Testament saints, you'll find that they too have a good habit of communion with God. Right? Peter and John would go up to the temple at the hour of prayer to pray. And if you were to look through the life of a Christian, you'll find that those times when the Christians is praying and seeking God, you'll find that those are the best moments in the Christian's life. And we are to do so for our blessing. Then if you look at the text again, in verse 9, it says that ye shall offer no strange incense, nor burnt sacrifice, nor meat offering, neither shall ye pour drink offering thereon. But the Bible tells us that the way in which we are to offer this prayer before God has to be according to God's specification. And so from verses 34 to 38 is given to us very specifically and very clearly the composition of the incense that would be used to be offered to God. And you look at verse 38, it says that we are not to use this, they are not to use this incense for their personal use. Right? Verse 38 says, whosoever shall make like unto that to smell thereto shall even be cut off from his people. So it's a picture of how God would want us to seek him in prayer, right, according to the will of God. And how do we seek God? According to his will. It is according to his word. Did not God give to Moses at Mount Sinai the exact composition of the perfume that he is to make in order to offer up the incense to God? It is a composition that is exactly what God would want us to do. And it is given to us according to his word. And so, as we think about our own prayer life, God has given us too the pattern for prayer. Our Lord Jesus Christ taught us in the Sermon on the Mount the Lord's Prayer. And that is a pattern of prayer for us. And we are to conform our prayer life, our devotion life, according to how God would want us to offer to him. Right? In the Sermon on the Mount, the Lord says that do not be engaged in vain repetition. Right? Do not be praying, right, standing in the synagogue, to be seen of men. So God wants us to offer our devotion and our prayer to him according to his ways. But we are to go to the closet where no one would see, and there we would have sweet communion with him. Of course, there's a place for public prayer, but what God is saying here, what the Lord is saying here, is that it must be from the heart, and it must be offered to God, right, and not as a form of a show. And so that devotional life the Lord wants us to have. And that's why he said that do not offer strange incense. Then if you were to go back to verse 10 of Exodus 30 says, and Aaron shall make an atonement upon the horns of the altar once a year with the blood of the sin offering of the atonements Once in a year shall he make an atonement upon it throughout your generations. It is most holy unto the Lord. You would find that once a year, in the day of the atonement, on the 10th day of the 7th month, the high priest is to take the blood that was sprinkled upon the mercy seat to put it on the horns of the altar of the incense. The purpose was symbolic, to cleanse it, to hallow it. And that indeed it is a consecrated, it is a clean vessel that is consecrated to God.
Right.
So as we think about this, we want to think about our own devotional life.
Right.
How when we come before God without seeking for, without confession, right, without seeking God for cleansing, our prayers will not be heard. But if we come before God to be washed by the blood of the Lamb, to confess our sins before Him, then we are able to come before God and have that sweet communion with God. And for the high priest, when he had to offer that sacrifice of the incense once a year with the blood, before he goes to the altar of incense, he has first to go to the brazen altar to offer a sacrifice for his sin before he is able to approach God. And that is how it is for us too. God wants us to be able, when before we come to Him, that we are, that we would have a time of self-examination where we would confess our sins before God. And another picture that we want to see with regard to this perpetual offering of the incense before God is a picture of how Christ made intercession for His people, for all His children, for all His blood-bought children, as Hebrews 7:25 says, He ever maketh intercession for them, for He is the high priest. And our Lord indeed, in His high priestly prayer in John chapter 17, prayed. And what did He pray for His people? And that's something that we want to think about. Well, in John chapter 17, Jesus asked the Father to protect, for protection from the world, for protection from Satan, for sanctification through the scriptures, and for unity amongst the body of Christ, and for the presence of believers to behold His glory, is given to us in John chapter 17. How the Lord prayed for us, that indeed we may be delivered from the world and the snares of this world. And He is that high priest. And we close with a hymn story. The hymn Sweet Hour of Prayer was written by William Walford. He was a blind lay preacher. He was someone who was a owner of a novelty store. And he went through many seasons of distress and grief in his own life. And because he was blind, his life was a perpetual darkness. But God brought comfort to his heart when he communed with God in prayer. And he received much grace, much solace from God in the times of his communion with God. And this is his experience. And so he wrote that hymn, Sweet Hour of Prayer. And the testimony is that no matter how dark and difficult our days are, we are, our Heavenly Father would bid us to cast our care, our every care upon him. And as the hymn goes, then we would experience the blessing of God. God inspired this man to write, and this hymn that was written has blessed the hearts of many saints. As we think about the smoke that comes from the altar of incense, this perfume that is brought before God, it is a symbol of the prayer of the saints, a picture of the life of devotion before God, how it is such a fragrance that we bring before God when we want to commune with our Father in heaven. Why do we want to commune with our Father in heaven? Because we want to let him know how much we need him. We want to let him know how much he is, he has been helping us, being with us, his power leading and guiding us. So this altar of incense, its pattern and placement and its purpose is a beautiful picture of the communion and devotion of believers with their God. And may we too, as we study this text, think and appropriate it in our own lives also, that God may give to us the kind of devotional life that is depicted by the priest in their devotion to God, how they offer sacrifices at the altar of incense morning and evening. May this also be our lot. Let us pray.